with a hand sign to go with it to help you remember. So without any explanation about why we're pointing this direction or whatever, just kind of follow along. If you remember and you want to follow along from where you're sitting, please do so. Okay, here's the Old Testament. Ready? Creation. We got the screen working. We got the power working. All is good. Did you ever do something that you immediately wondered if you shouldn't have? Doing that, all of a sudden I thought, you know, I haven't gone through the Old Testament for a long time. Thank you, Gerald. Or that's why I was looking at him. Is it Judges now? So anyway, that's the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, of course, sets up the New Testament. The story of Jesus has no framework, except we have the Old Testament. They were looking for Jesus from Genesis until he came. The prophets spoke about the coming Messiah. Moses spoke about the coming Messiah. David wrote about the coming Messiah. So if Jesus suddenly appeared out of nowhere with no background, it's like having a beautiful painting with no framework. But he has all that history. The work of the priests, the sanctuary, all the sacrifices that they gave were all meant to point to him as our Redeemer and as our Savior. So the walk through the New Testament, we will do 77 new steps and hand signs all around the life of Jesus and around the book of Acts and the story of the growing, the starting, building and the growing of the church. But for this morning, what I want to do is talk about the 400 years of silence. That's the last thing that we just did in the Old Testament. Nehemiah built the walls, 400 years silence, Christ. So, can you hear it? Do you hear the 400 years of silence? Why do we call them silent? Did nothing happen from Nehemiah till Jesus came? Well, nothing happened according to the scripture record. The scripture is silent around 400 years between Nehemiah, Malachi, and the coming of Christ, the book of Matthew. But there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on in those 400 years. So the last Old Testament prophet was Malachi. And he is, the next prophet that comes on the scene is who? John the Baptist. So Malachi to John the Baptist, 400 years in between. And we think, well, I guess there was nothing important in there. There was a lot of important stuff that went on in there. So from Malachi to Matthew, this is how we start the New Testament. 400 years. 400 years of silence. From Malachi in the past, so I point this direction because you are reading across the page this way, so we would always, this would be kind of what's history. From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years, silence. Malachi to Matthew. But in those 400 years of silence, there was powers going on. There's a lot of things happening. So, guys, if you could find the, let's see what the next slide says. Yes. So Assyria is the nation that came in and destroyed Israel. They didn't destroy them. They didn't crush them. They didn't overpower them. They scattered them. And we said that as we were going through the Old Testament. They scattered them. So they came in and the people of Israel just went everywhere. There were two nations. Israel divided into two nations, north and south. Israel, Judah. Let me just pause and go back there for a moment. We said all that as we were going through. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. It is so astounding to me that in the nation of Israel, God's chosen people for dispersing the truth of Him and His character to the world, that in the north, there were 19 kings in the history of Israel. In the south, in Judah, there were 20 kings in the history of Judah over a 400-year period about. In the north, there were zero kings who led the people to God. Zero out of the 19. In the south, there were 8 out of 20. So out of 39 kings, north and south, 8 brought the people, led the people to God. And the prophet said, you got to shape up. That's the vernacular. You got to come back. When you read the prophets, you see them calling the people back. And there was so little response that finally Assyria came in and Israel was scattered. And then Assyria was taken over by Babylon and they were centered where today Iraq is. And they came and took Judah captive. And that's the story of Daniel and his friends and all the people who were taken captive. And they were there for about 70 years. And then Persia came on the scene. And Persia allowed them to come back again. And in 457 BC, right in the middle of those years, the decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem. And Nehemiah came and rebuilt the walls. And then it went silent. Well, what about Greece? Why doesn't the Bible talk about Greece? It mentions Greece, that it's coming, but it doesn't have the detailed story of Greece. But let me tell you what happened while Greece was on the scene. The greatest Greek leader was Alexander the Mediocre, right? Alexander the Great. He traveled so fast across the nations that he would ride into town, nobody stopped him, renamed it, and carried on. But as he renamed it, he also set up a school so that people could learn the Greek language and the Greek art and the Greek culture. And as he went, he went so fast that finally he ended up on the shores of India, and his army said, "This is far enough. We're not going any further." And he broke down and wept at 34 years of age because he wanted to go further and conquer more, and he died shortly thereafter. But they said, "We've had enough. We've been away from our families long enough. We're going home." So Alexander the Great pushed across the world so fast that it was unbelievable. Well, what he brought to the world was a common language, because as I said, as he entered into the town, he would set up a school to teach language. So this is how we do it. 400 years silence from Malachi to Matthew. Powers, the first one is Greece. Have you seen the Greek statue of the thinker? Greece. Language. Sorry, just one. Language. There's two later. Language. Greece brought language to the world. Well, then, for a time, Israel pushed back against Greece, and one of the greatest insults to the Jewish people was when Antiochus Epiphanes came into Jerusalem, and he was so, rude? It's a greater word than that, but he took a pig and sacrificed it on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. And of course, the Jewish people, pigs were an unclean animal to them. And so to do that, to sacrifice a pig on the altar, was just beyond their imagination of hatred. And they started to push back then. And for a little while, from 167 BC to 63 BC, they were their own nation. And of course, the Jewish people brought to the world the hope of a Messiah. They continued to talk about the hope of a better time when God would take care of the world, when God would take the world for his own, when God would cleanse the world, when God would push away all enemies. And so they continued to dispel hope to the people. Whoever would listen. So powers, Greece, language, Israel. You know how the Jewish men wear the little skull cap, the yarmulke. So that's the sign for Israel. Israel brought hope. Israel, hope. Well, then Rome came in 63 BC and conquered Jerusalem, and from then on, the Romans, for 500 years almost, for more than 500 years, were in dominance in the world. And that's why we have the Romans on the scene when Jesus was born, and the decree from Caesar Augustus to go and register. And we have the story of Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And we have the Christmas story because of the order of Rome, because they were in charge. And of course, the Jewish people were pushing back against Rome at the time that Jesus comes on the scene. Well, what the Romans did for the world, the blessing that the Romans brought to the world, is that they made roads everywhere, highways to move their armies. And those roads are still, some of them, used today. And the blessing, God always finds a blessing out of things, the blessing to the people of that part of the world was that's the same roads that Paul and the disciples journeyed and traveled on as they went out into the world to take the gospel. So as they built the roads for their armies, God used the roads to move the gospel into the world. So Greece brought language, Israel brought hope, and Rome, this is the Roman salute, brought roads. Rome, roads. So powers, Greece, language, Israel, hope, Rome, roads. Well, there was a lot of other stuff going on. Just because Rome was in charge for a while, and just because Greece was in charge for a while, and just because Israel was independent for a few years in there, doesn't mean there were not other things happening. Just like in today, and I don't know if you paid much attention to the last few weeks in the United States. I don't know how you couldn't, but If you were listening at all, you knew that there was a lot of things going on down there. Well, just like in our day today, in those days before Jesus, in those 400 years, there was a lot of politics going on as well. I want to tell you about six groups of people, and then we'll be done for the morning. We'll continue on with the story of Jesus this afternoon. So here's the sign for politics. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, politics. We have powers, but we also have politics. So there were six groups of people that came along. And you've heard of some of these, but I want to kind of put them in their setting. You've heard of the Sanhedrin, right? So the Sanhedrin was a group of 70 people that governed the nation of Israel. They were the parliament, sort of Israel. And they were developed when Israel was controlled by the Greeks, and Alexander the Great allowed the people he had conquered to set up their own governing council. So that's when the Sanhedrin was formed. So it was the Sanhedrin. The six groups I'm going to tell you fall into two sides. So all of you kind of down the center, you can decide if you're on this side or this side, and you all know where you are, and you know where you are. So on this side, you are the yes group, and you are the no group. Now, don't decide if it's better yes or no till I tell you what that means. Okay. So on the yes side, the Sanhedrin were on the yes side because Greece allowed them to set up their own governing system. They said, well, we will support you and we will adopt the Greek way of thinking and the Greek culture. So they were the yes group to the idea of what Greece wanted to push and put upon the world. On the other side, over here on the no side, we have the scribes. And have you heard of the scribes? If you read the New Testament at all, you know that the scribes were one of the groups of people. Well, they were the groups who said, no, we are not going to follow the Greek culture. We are not going to step in because we have to protect what God has wanted us to have in the first place, which we let go of so badly. I want to just circle back for a moment. When you think about the people who went into exile, the Israelite nation that was scattered, and then the Judean nation that went into exile for a while, when they got a chance to come back to their own land and to their own city and rebuild the walls and restart everything, open up the temple, they rebuilt the temple, but if you've read, it says that the old people wept when they saw the new temple, because it was so much less than Solomon's temple, and it had been broken down, and as they got it rebuilt, it just wasn't enough. But wasn't the same. So you can imagine that the people said, "This will never happen again. We will never go into exile again." And so the scribes formed from Ezra's day to protect the scripture and to make sure that the law of God was always followed and that every piece of the law meticulously was taken care of and followed. So we have the Sanhedrin. Here's the sign for the Sanhedrin. And we have the scribes. Writing. Okay? The Sanhedrin, yes to the Greek culture. The scribes, no to the Greek culture. Okay? So that's two of the politics. Then we have the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And this is a yes and no group as well. The Sadducees were a group of people who were what we would call today, the Sadducees and the Pharisees we would put as the liberals and the conservatives, in very rough terms, okay? Okay? The Sadducees, and according to the worldview of the day, not the Greek view, but the kind of the worldview about God and about religious questions and life after death and all of those things. The Sadducees got into the thinking that there was nothing supernatural in the world. So therefore, there could be no God that could do miracles. You know, there was no resurrection. There was no life after death. There was nothing supernatural. It was just God was maybe the creator. We could accept that. But nothing beyond that. It's just, this is life, and we'll sort it out as we go. That was their worldview. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they had this strict view about God, and they followed into this camp of, we are going to preserve what we let go of. God will never have to punish us again. And so the Pharisees were the gatekeepers and the law keepers. And it was sort of like, well, if one law is good enough, why not 10? And if 10 are good, why not 20? And they had laws about laws, and it was just so burdensome that's why you see Jesus pushing back against both the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they were so caught up in their own thinking that both of them missed the point of some of the things that Jesus wanted to bring. So can you imagine what it'd be like to not believe in the supernatural God or miracles or that God could take care of things and no resurrection? Sadducees. Okay, Sadducees. Pharisees, shame on you for not doing it good enough. Okay, there's a law about that. You're not keeping it. There's a law about that too. You're not keeping it. Pharisees. Okay, Sadducees. Pharisees. Sanhedrin. Scribes. Sadducees. Pharisees. Then there's two more groups. This is the group that said yes and no to Rome. Rome came in, took over, and, excuse me. So it was sort of like, if you can't beat them, join them, for this group that I'm going to name. And for this group over here, it was like, we aren't ever joining you. In fact, we're going to fight you as hard as we can. So this group is the publicans. Remember who they are? They're the ones who went to the Romans and said, okay, we'll buy in. Here's my due to pay you to be a tax collector. Now, I can go collect taxes for myself. I've paid my dues to you, and so how much did you say you owe? Let's double that. Let's double that. Let's double that, and you better get it to me now. And the thing is that they were Jews collecting from their own people. That's why there were no popular publicans. So when Jesus chose Matthew to come with him, he was choosing someone that the people already hated. And Zacchaeus is a publican, meaning that he was the one who collected the funds from the Jewish people, but lined his own pocket as he did it. Publicans. Yes to Rome. On this side, we had a group of people called the Zealots. Have you ever heard of the Zealots? Do you know who they are? They were like the terrorists of Israel. They would fight Rome any chance they could. So they had these little bands of groups and groups of people who would go out and pick on something that was Roman. And there was just a lot of sort of terrorist warfare going on because of the Zealots. But one of the disciples was a zealot. So that's the mindset of the people who got into this. We will never accept Rome. In fact, we will fight them as long as we can. I just listened to a CD, book on CD by Nelson Mandela called Long Walk to Freedom. Maybe you've read the book or heard it. It's the story of his life and his fight for the freedom of the African people. And the reason I bring it up is he went to prison for so many years, 26 years. And finally, when he was let out of prison, he was allowed to do negotiation with the government and eventually became the president of the company, of the country for 5 years. But he and his wife separated after he got out of prison. She stood by him through the whole ordeal. And when they got out, they separated. And it was so sad to me, but he said, we separated because we had been apart for so long, we didn't know who each other were anymore. But Winnie did not want to forgive all the injustices that had gone on. And I wanted to forgive and move forward so we could have freedom. And we went different ways. And that's kind of how the Zealots were. We don't want you. We're going to fight you, and I don't care if I die doing it. So here's the sign for the zealots. You have a sword. Okay, Publicans, zealots. Okay, politics. Sanhedrin, scribes. Sadducees, Pharisees. Publicans, zealots. So all of that is just the setting for the New Testament. So that when you read the story, you read Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Oh, they were the shame on you people. There's a story about the Sadducees that came to Jesus and said, so a guy dies and his wife remarries his brother, and he dies and he marries the next brother, and he marries all seven brothers, and in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? They were trying to trap Jesus because they didn't believe in a resurrection, so they were trying to ask him a question that he wouldn't have an answer to. So you can see their thinking. We don't believe in a resurrection, we'll trap Jesus from that way. The Pharisees, you healed him on the Sabbath? Excuse me? Okay? It's you see it all play out when you have a little picture of the background. But here's the last piece I want to mention this morning before we close. Then there's four Gospels. Three of them tell almost identical stories, and then John is a different Gospel, a different story. It's the same story, but he brings in all kinds of different information. So there's four distinct views. This is the next hand sign. Four distinct views, but only one good news. Four distinct views, one good news. So let's walk through all of that together. 400 years, silence, power. I'm sorry. 400 years, silence. Malachi, Matthew. Powers, Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, politics, Sanhedrin, scribes, Sadducees, Pharisees, publicans, zealots. Four distinct views, one good news. Let's do it again. 400 years, silence from Malachi to Matthew. Powers, Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, politics, Sanhedrin, scribes, Sadducees, Pharisees, publicans, zealots. Four distinct views, one good news. And the one good news is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, born from a woman like you and I, walked on this earth to die, to redeem us, to save us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. I just read recently about those miners in Chile back in 2010, I think. And you saw the story. Trapped underground, unable to go anywhere, until from the top they drilled down, took 69 days to drill down with a hole big enough that they could put that canister down and bring them up one at a time. When they came up, they all said, we survived well because we never gave up hope. We never gave up hope. And one guy said, I knew it would be okay because I knew that my father would be doing everything he could and would not stop until he got to me. You and I are just as trapped in this world as those miners were underground. We cannot get off this planet. We can fly up a few miles in an airplane, but we have to come back down. We can go, not you and me, but some people have walked on the moon. They're talking about Mars. It's all talk at this point. I don't know. But even if we get to Mars, how far is that in comparison to the universe? It's a pebble's throw. We can't get off this earth, except that our Father is doing everything he can to rescue us. And the greatest statement of that rescue effort is his Son, Jesus Christ, who came, who's died, and we're going to talk about his story this afternoon. Let's pray. Dear Father, Thank you for the history and the story of your Son, Jesus. The setting, we have set the stage. Now bless us this afternoon as we spend time walking through his life. And most of all, Father, keep us focused on you as we go through this Christmas season, as we give you praise for sending your Son to come to this earth to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.